This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1, OUTDOOR, and the number 1. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com. Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast with your host, Nate and Micah and Andy. Nate's already shaking his head over here.
It was doomed from the get-go.
Because I said this.
Yeah.
I said this. Nate's shaking his head.
This is it, but welcome to it.
You want how you do it?
You want to ruin
Nathan's day, you just say a wrong word. Well, it took me a little bit to speak that out.
A while to get that word
it's,
out.
Yeah. It's a late one, guys. Yeah. It's a late one.
And everybody was up super early this morning around 1:40 because we were dealing with storms.
Yeah.
So everybody's running on fumes, I think.
Andy said he slept through it.
Did you?
I didn't. I get up.
Oh, I was texting somebody else.
Did I go to the basement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was too late. It was already over, but we went to the basement.
Well, it's like that. You're late to everything, man.
I was late today. I woke up and I was laying there. I was like, all right. If I hear, that real high pitch,
if the roof starts to come off, I'm going to start going downstairs.
Kate was sleeping. I wasn't going to wake a pregnant lady. That'd be bad.
Yeah.
And then I was like, my phone just shows thunderstorm warning.
Why is that?
My phone never went off for a tornado warning.
Oh, really?
Ever. All of a sudden, she got a text message. I'm like, what is that? Who's texting you at 1:30 in the morning? Yeah.
Who is that?
Who'd that be?
Nope. Who'd that be?
Nope.
And so she goes, she signed up for the sheriff's department text messages. She's like, it says tornado warning. It's like,
yep, that's what I got.
I'm not getting one. Like, so I was laying there kind of thinking, like, if I'm not getting one, like, what? You know, none of our phones, our weather apps were giving us anything. So, but about that time, our daughter comes running into the room, and she was more pissed than anything because the storm woke her up. That's too loud. I can't sleep. She wasn't scared. She was just mad it woke her up.
Yeah.
So she crawled in bed with us. And I was like, you know what? If that was a tornado warning, like, she got text, like, we're all awake. Let's just go downstairs.
Yeah, might as well.
So I took him downstairs, went and turned the news on, and the news wasn't talking about it. So I'm pretty sure it was already gone.
Yes. About what time was it?
By the time we got downstairs, probably 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably would have been, because we, it hit us.
Our swing set was going straight sideways still, so I'm pretty sure.
It was like 1:15, and then we walked back up about 2:15. Or not 1:15, 1:45. 1:45, and it was over by like 2:15 or something like that.
So by the time it got from you to me, about
it should be about right.
Same thing. I would have slept through it, but Bennett woke up and woke me up, and then I just checked my phone, and I'm like, "Hey, we're under a tornado warning," and I got that text, and so then we were like, "Well, we should probably go downstairs."
Yeah.
So woke up the other kids and went downstairs, and then we're down here for like 5 minutes, and I was like, I think it's gone.
Yeah.
But so I do have a question.
Huh?
Why can't you wake up a pregnant lady?
It's just
bad. Oh, you can, but it's highly frowned upon.
Oh, okay. So then, like, not some, like, wives' tale that they turn into something or, like, weird thing.
They turn into something, but I ain't saying what it is. She's having problems sleeping anyway. She has this like restless leg syndrome.
Oh, so, like, my wife had that bad.
Oh, she's, yeah. Yep. I feel bad because here I am snoring away, and she'll have to get up middle of the night and go sleep on the recliner because she can't get her legs like comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel for
Becca had that bad with our kids.
Once she does get asleep, I don't like.
Don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
But, no, I get it. Don't mess with them.
That's right.
Who we got on today, bud?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask the host? He's the guy that says, welcome, this is all that, whatever, you know, whatever he feels like doing every week. Whenever he graces us with his presence, he just says whatever he wants. Why don't you ask him?
The last episode, I wasn't even, like, on the trip. You didn't even...
Through your own...
You didn't even offer to let me weigh in on coyote hunting, even though I killed more coyotes than you that weekend.
You could have came.
Sheesh.
Yeah, you were asked numerous times if you wanted to come. So, you
were literally invited more than anybody that was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I was, but yeah.
Micah cried because you weren't there.
I did. It was very emotional for me.
He was wanting to kill coyotes.
Yeah, I was wanting somebody to know that knows something. We didn't know.
Now you're going to talk shit over here.
Oh.
No, I would have loved to go, but it's one of those things. The timing of being able to, like, say I can go in advance there, yeah, for planting and everything is kind of.
Bad timing. We're going to move our birthday.
I was about to say, can you move your birthday? It'd be great.
We're going to move our birthday hunt weekend. That's what we're going to do.
That'd be great.
So, but on today's show.
Why are you looking at me again?
This is when somebody takes over.
We have Missouri Disabled Sportsman on today's show.
Yep.
Pete. Go for it, Nate.
Say the name.
Eisentrager. Did I say it right?
I don't know.
Pete, sorry if I messed it up.
We're sorry, Pete.
He understands. He knows it's a hard name to say.
We have Pete, who is one of the board members. I think he's the board chair.
I think so. He said exactly board chair.
I closed everything down that I had up.
For Missouri Disabled Sportsman.
With the Missouri Disabled Sportsman. Pete comes on, and we BS for a little while about deer hunting. It's one of his passions, is archery. And
I'd say he's pretty decent at it from the pictures he was showing.
Yep.
Yeah, seems like a killer.
Yeah.
And then we talk about what Missouri Disabled Sportsman does, and how you can get involved, all kinds of stuff.
Multiple ways to get involved, yeah. And some cool stuff. He shared a couple of really cool stories of just giving examples of, you know,
What they do,
how it works, and kind of how the emotions run in the, you know, with it all.
Yep.
But,
so, and it was a really good one. You know, makes you want to get more involved, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's do sponsors.
All right.
You want to start, Micah? You just pick anybody on the list.
I can pick anybody.
Dealer's choice.
Let's go with Camo Fire.
Let's.
Camo Fire. It's, what is it, Wednesday? It's Wednesday. What's on today, Andy?
Trail Cam Wednesday.
Today was Sitka Wednesday. They had
all kinds of stuff on there.
Sitka stuff on there today. It was a lot of hats, a lot of
pants, hats, all kinds. Yeah, it's pretty much all Sitka stuff.
Camo Fire, it's a sweet deal.
Get the discount hunting app.
Yep. Get the app. Update the app if you do have it and you're having problems with it, because they've redone all that. So if you're having some issues, you just need to update it, and then it's going to work for you flawlessly. That
explains it. I think I need to update mine.
Have you been having issues?
Every once in a while. I just kind of slow to load and stuff.
If you'd listen to your own damn show, we've been telling you that for 2 weeks.
I missed 1 week.
Well, I'm just saying. We told you last week. Update your app, Andy.
Get your shit together, dude.
Man.
Came out Tuesday, and it's only Wednesday.
It's only Wednesday.
Jeez.
Yeah, check them out, camofire.com, or download the app. We'll just go right into Black Ovis, their sister company.
Black Ovis. Yep. If you guys are doing any shopping or anything like that, you need some boots, some camo, some arrows.
Yeah, how do you like your arrows?
They fly amazing.
Yeah.
I've shot them, I don't know, probably 2-3 dozen times, mm-hmm. and I've only been shooting 60 yards, right? And this is like the first time getting my bow out since bow season. I feel like my group's tighter. I don't know if it's just... feeling good and getting the bow out again,
because for those who don't know, I mean, Micah did the custom arrow builder on there.
Arrow ID custom build.
Yeah, super easy. As long as you know some basic information of what you're using as far as your draw length and what types of spine you need. Other than that, you can kind of pick and choose everything that you want. You know, you can go left helical, right helical. What kind of wraps, what kind of fletchings, 4, 3, they got all kinds of different options for you.
You went the 4-fletch, didn't you?
Yeah, I went 4-fletch.
There you go.
Yeah, AAE's hybrids.
Nice.
It's the fletching that I went with. Super happy with them.
Yeah.
Turned out amazing.
What I like about that Arrow ID Builder is, I mean, you got all the options, all the different, pretty much any arrow that you could purchase is available there.
They got at least,
at least the big dogs.
Yeah, they got the top name ones.
Pretty much any fletching that you would want. I mean, I think we all shoot different fletchings.
Yeah.
At this point, you shoot boning heats.
I was a Blazer. Yeah. I was a Blazer fan for the longest time. I still shoot Blazers.
And now you're with AAEs.
Yeah.
And you can pretty much get all that. And it's simple, like step-by-step process of building the arrow. It took you how long?
It took me longer to decide on what color pattern I wanted then it actually built it, but you can do it less than 10 minutes.
Yeah. So check them out, blackovis.com. Use the code MWW10 for, you guessed it, 10% off. Who else you want to go with?
Let's go with Huntworth gear.
They're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Keep waiting for Andy to chime in.
I was waiting for Mike. Can't say enough about these guys.
Can't say enough good things about them. Can't say enough.
No. We used their stuff August. It's been a few weekends, but on our hunt, it was hot as balls outside.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was.
I mean, we were comfortable. As comfortable as you can be wearing long sleeve and pants.
Yep. I had that performance long sleeve shirt on. I was obviously the same weekend you guys were gone, but I was comfortable.
Yeah.
Completely. And I like their pants. My names are terrible on that stuff, but the one they come in all brown now.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the reinforced butt and reinforced knee pads. No, those things are money, man. Mm-hmm. I like them. I use the solids at work a lot, like after it's rained.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll use those.
Kind of a wicking material almost. Yeah, I don't know if it does or not, but that's what it feels like.
Well, that, and there's a lot of times I have to get on my – this is going to sound bad, but I got to get on my knees every once in a while to do certain things. And so, you know, keeps you from getting your pants wet.
Keep it PG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So,
well, and, you know.
Married to your sister.
I think they're starting. Yeah, I'm going to keep moving. I think they're starting to, you know, their patterns, they've got a nice assortment of patterns. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got Disruption, Tarnin, and Hidden. Hidden is your more like traditional, like that real tree camo feel.
Right.
You know, the old, I guess you call it old school camo pattern.
Looks like timber type thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, Tarnin is going to be something that really works everywhere, honestly.
You're a big fan of the Tarnin. Andy.
I'm a big fan of Tarnin, especially in the later season. If you get probably around Missouri, you get like
a dusting.
November to probably early April, I'm a tarning man. And then I switch about that springtime.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the exact opposite of you. I've always really liked their disruption pattern because it's digital, and I'm a huge fan of digital camo.
Yeah.
But the tarnin, once I started using it, really, really grew on me. And honestly, I like them both.
Yeah.
I don't have their hidden stuff, but actually one of our listeners, I think, bought a whole setup of hidden.
Yeah.
And we should check it out sometime because I've never actually seen it in front of me. But their patterns, I think, are starting to get noticed in the industry, the hunting industry, and because they're badass patterns. And I'm a huge fan of patterns.
Dude, their patterns, I mean, I just like the quality of their stuff.
Oh, and the quality is there. I mean, that just goes without saying.
And the price point. Can't complain about that.
No, not at all.
But if you want to save more, you can. Use the code MWW15 for 15% off when you go. And a lot of times they have sales of 20 and 30%.
Right now I'm running a Father's Day sale of 20%.
So don't use our code. Use that.
Use theirs. Yeah.
Save that money.
But check them out. We're huge fans of them. For me, it's Huntworth Wednesday. See what I'm saying? Boom. Okay. Moving on.
Every day is Huntworth Day.
Yeah. Alps Outdoors. I used their Tri-Lake stool last weekend. That's one of my favorite.
Favorite thing they have is that stool.
Freaking $20 stool is one of my favorite damn things I got.
That stool more than anything.
It's so convenient. It's to throw in the backpack.
Yeah.
And gone.
Yeah. No, it's sweet. It's
small. It moves. It does exactly what I need.
Not to mention their packs. They have any pack you could possibly want for any type of hunting you do.
They actually came out with a new pack.
Oh, too. What they got now?
Yeah, look that up real quick.
Okay.
It's pretty sweet. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a, you know, Western style pack. Okay. You know.
All right.
I'm still impressed with my. I like my Hybrid X I have for my Western.
Dude, hunting. That thing is money. Yeah, that one's sweet.
My Hybrid X is my favorite pack I have. And then the Grand Slam for turkey hunting and coyote hunting. I use it for both. Has the cushion with the backrest and the legs.
Yeah. Where's it at?
I don't know.
It was the grayish one.
The grayish one.
It might be on under.
Oh, I have seen that one. Yeah. I just went to Big Game. But
I thought it was a Big Game one.
Yeah, that's
it
where I would have thought it would have been. But
try Whitetail. I'm sure the listeners are.
Yeah, they're really like enjoying this.
The intro is 40 minutes to this episode.
Finding a damn pack.
I can't see it, but I know it's on there.
Somewhere. Oh, it's in extreme packs. That's why. Nate, you gotta like know how to navigate stuff.
There we go.
Right here.
Yeah, it's coming this fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they haven't made it out, but yeah, go check those out. They look pretty sweet.
That does look
Missouri
cool.
company.
Yep.
Missouri-based company, Alps Outdoors, and. They freaking came through for our listeners. Use the code WOODSWATER, 30% off.
That's insane.
That's big.
That's a big discount.
It's crazy, man.
Zamberland boots.
Got mine on right now.
You literally are wearing your salates.
I wear them every day,
Those salates, man, they're my favorite boots I've ever probably had.
Dude,
I don't want to sound like it sounds like I wear them all the time.
Yep. That might have been the single best gift we've ever received.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Because our contact with Zamberland, Kate, hi Kate, awesome. Like she was like, hey, I want to send you guys these. Try them out. And we're like, sure. Those are the best damn boots in the history of the world.
I wear them constantly. They're sweet. Yeah.
I put some miles on mine already.
Yeah. You got to check out those salates.
They're not even, those right there. Are not even like their main hunting or hiking boot. They're kind of more your everyday like deal for them.
Mm-hmm. Still Gore-Tex,
but for me, and Micah, and I know Nathan, but we're kind of putting them through our like hunting paces, the spring paces. I'm wearing them coyote hunting, wearing them on the farm. Micah's wearing them to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sheesh.
Yeah. So, yeah, check them out, ZamberlandUSA.com. And then finally, last but not least, Habitat Works, our boy Dustin.
He's out there getting it done.
He's got a lot of cool-ass new toys that I want to play with.
No, yeah, he's got all the stuff you need to do quality work out there. So, maybe, if you guys
are... Not to mention the
I'll give him a holler and he'll give me... Just let me tag along for a day and play with his...
Oh, I'm sure he could put you to work.
Yeah, play with his stuff. That sounded bad. Play with his toys.
Did you hear that, Dustin?
That's
Nathan,
not.
Nathan wants to play with your stuff.
Man, y'all. I kept it PG when I had all right, a joke I that I wanted to say.
This intro's about done.
And then you freaking went left field.
But yeah, so if you guys are out there and you're just too busy or just need some expert advice, give Dustin a call. He can give you guys a hand on, you know, your property and what needs to be done, and he can do the work for you too.
Yeah, so. 816-752-7390 or habitatworksllc@gmail.com or his Facebook page, Habitat Works. Just search that and you'll find him. Mention us when you do call him or get a hold of him. You get 15% off any one of his services, which he pretty much does it all when it comes to habitat planning, the work, all of it. So give him a holler. Thanks to our sponsors.
Appreciate it. That's the show. That. Yeah. Let's listen to Pete.
This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast.
For the second time, but whatever. All right, with us tonight, Pete with the Missouri Disabled Sportsman. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Living the dream.
Yeah.
We're here.
Survived a few storms last night, so everybody's doing good.
Yeah.
It got a little western out there.
A little rowdy around here last night, for
sure. Yeah. We had to gather up the three kids and take them down to the basement at like 1:45 in the morning. That was fun.
Chasing snakes.
That was my buddy, man. I had to get rid of them, though.
We had just had this conversation.
Is this another Snapchat thing?
Yeah.
That you guys are doing?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Snapchat and the party you didn't show up to.
Yeah.
Nate has his snake friends, and I don't do snakes. Or Micah does. I'm sorry. Micah has his snake friends, and I don't do those.
Pete, you a friend of a fan of snakes?
As long as they're about 4 feet from me, we're all right.
Yeah. That's usually how I am.
They don't bother me. And I found one in my basement, I don't know, a few days ago, a week or so ago, and I just left him there. I was like, well, he ain't hurting me none. He's in the basement. We don't go down there very much.
Are you
You realize they can come upstairs, right?
Are you serious?
Well, he hadn't. If anything, he was just going to get in the garage. But I was like, well, he'll eat the mice or the frogs or whatever that get down there. And, well, by God, 1:45 in the morning, we go down, and my wife's carrying the baby, and she's got the flashlight. There's a snake down here right at the end of the stairs. I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot about that guy.
About that guy.
What I should say is I knew that.
You leave Jerry alone.
Yeah. But he's gone now. So, but yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely had some storms last night.
Yeah.
Pete, before we get into today's show, why don't you introduce yourself, tell everybody what you do for the organization. And I didn't prepare you for this, but if you've listened to our show before, you know what's coming.
I have.
What's your favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors?
Fair enough. So my name is Pete Eisentrager. I am the chairman for the board of directors for an organization here in Missouri called Missouri Disabled Sportsmen, which I guess we'll get into that here shortly, I guess.
Yep, but yeah, definitely.
Be honest, man, my favorite thing about Missouri, I moved down here from Minnesota, and the diversity from north to south is pretty nuts to me, you know, from the ag country up north all the way down to the Ozarks. So that part of it's beautiful to me. And then once I got down here and realized that there was a conservation agency in this country that would let me shoot more than one deer a season, this guy was in.
I'm and sold.
Then, yeah, we backed that up by I've shoveled 6 times since I left Minnesota to Missouri, so I don't shovel snow anymore. So
yeah, that's pretty nice.
I was hooked on the state from there.
There you go.
And may I just say, I think Micah and Andy would agree, you would rival our buddy Walt Disney with Movets on – the voice.
Podcast voice.
Yeah, you got a voice for radio.
Voice, maybe. I never want to tangle with that man.
Well, I didn't say I wanted to tangle with him.
I would not either.
Walt's a great guy. So,
we were talking a little bit before recording, and you're a pretty big bow hunter.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah, archery's kind of my my passion. I mean, I rifle hunt and gun hunt too, but end of the day, I want a stick and a string in my hand.
It's really hard not to bring out the boomstick, isn't it?
It sometimes it's nice to just even the playing field just a little bit.
Like you keep getting your ass kicked all year, and you're just like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go ahead and hang up there at 300 yards. That's no big deal.
I try to use the boomstick for filling the freezer with does more than anything. Yeah. But, yeah, it's archery's kind of my gig.
So how was archery last year?
I had a great season.
You showed us a picture, but when – I don't – know what that deer was. Was he an archery deer?
Yeah, both of them actually were archery deer, but I actually came off a hunt up at Swan Lake with one of our disabled guys that he got drawn up at Swan Lake, and he happened to get sick on November 6th up there, so we canceled our hunt short, unfortunately, but I bugged out straight away, went to my deer farm over at Callaway County, and that night stuck a real nice 8-pointer and then turned around, turned and burned right back to Kansas the next day and got on some public ground and stuck a real nice 10-pointer.
So back-to-back days?
2 days apart.
Oh, man. Nice. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
I had to drink a little bourbon in between, boys. So pretty stoked about the
Missouri. Had to have you celebratory,
Yeah, but, yeah.
So are you talking – was that that walk-in land that Kansas does? Or?
Yeah, we actually got drawn for like a quote managed hunt out there. I got a buddy that lives out there. So
that's cool.
Yeah, we got drawn for some managed land out there. And
we need to look into – I know Kansas does that what is it called? It has a – it's
like
all
walk-in public.
I think WEHA, walk-in access.
Yeah, walk-in access where you sign in or sign up for it or whatnot.
A lot of it's just showing up. You know, if you got your tag, honestly, you can just show up to them. Yeah. Make sure you find them on the maps or whatever.
How do they do their tags again? Is it draw?
It's draw.
Yeah. For deer's draw, yep. Unless
so they got a point system too?
Yeah, unless you own property and or, you know, a resident at some point and have one of their lifetime tags. So, but yeah, pretty much a draw. So.
We should just buy some property in Kansas, boys.
You live too close, boys. Not to go on.
We're literally like 40 minutes.
Put into it, so.
We need to. Actually, some of the guys we know in this area, they do it every year. And he was telling us about it, how there's a something online or whatever, and you can put your name in there and sign in. Or I can't remember how it was. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice. And I know Missouri now does the the hell is that program called?
They've got the managed walk-in.
We did a show on it.
MRAP
program,
It's kind of getting more popular.
Yeah.
It's still pretty fresh.
Yeah, but it's not exactly hunting because, you know, the landowner can say, hey, I just want people hiking here or whatnot. But still, it's pretty cool. So
they can specify what activities they want. Yeah, the conservation.
Yeah. So what bow you run?
Shoot a Hoyt. Compound bow. I've been shooting for about 6 or 7 years. CRX.
CRX.
Do a little traditional hunting too as well. So
that's what traditional bow you got?
I've got a recurve and a longbow, but my longbow is Black Widow. Sticking with the home state.
There you go.
God bless my wife. She went down for my 40th birthday a couple of years ago and went down and ordered a custom one.
So
I shoot left-handed. I'm totally backwards. So
no, you're just right.
That's
you're
what I said. Right. Best shooters in the world are left-handed.
What's your draw length?
Well, I'll disagree with you there. I think Andy will too, maybe.
Probably.
Anybody have me beat. I'm 31 and a half. I short stroke it.
You just found a guy to sell your bows
to. Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Dude, Andy always complains because every time he gets a new bow, he's like, I'm never going to be able to sell this to anybody.
Oh, it's a tough market selling a used left-handed bow when you're this tall.
31 and a half inch draw.
That's my exact draw length, too.
So
that works out perfect. And he's building a house really close to us. So I'm just saying.
We are. I am trying to move into the neighborhood.
Come on over, buddy.
But funny, we did a show with Black Widow, and I've wanted one for years.
Do it.
Several years. Well, I'm so damn nervous about, I don't know what poundage to go with because I don't know how to shoot one yet. And, you know, they got that little range in there that you can try stuff out on. I have one picked out already. The PC, pretty sure I was going to go with the PCH. And I had a color all picked out, and I'm like, but then I'm like, I don't know if I'm making the right choice. And those are really expensive to go.
Yeah, but it's worth it, man. Craftsmanship.
Buy
once, cry once.
Yeah,
that's true.
If you get the chance, I'm going to have to recommend it. Go down there and spend some time with those boys. They'll spend 3 hours with you. They'll run you through every one of their
rigs. We literally were there.
I missed out on that trip. We did a show with them.
Yeah. We drove down there and did the show at there, and they showed us the place.
It's crazy. You see the back of the shop or whatever. It's cool guys.
How they make it, you know, it's pretty. You're just like, damn, that's cool.
A lot goes into it. I mean, you can see why the price is what it is because, I mean, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into that.
The recommendation I'd have with going traditional, like, don't be afraid to shoot 42, 41, 45 pounds. I've got a recurve that was 53 when I bought my first one, and it's like, it's pretty stiff. So
that's what I was worried. I'm like, oh, I want to be able to shoot, you know, an animal with it, but I'm also, I don't shoot traditional yet, and
it's in all of us.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's instinctive, in all of us. Yeah. It's instinctive.
So sometimes I swear
what's your
I shoot
range
my compound
on a traditional? Like, what are you comfortable taking a deer at?
I'm super comfortable out to about 22, 23 yards. Like confidence wise, you get out to 25, 30. I mean, I can shoot good, but comfort wise, it's probably out of my comfort zone. So end of the day, archery, I try to keep everything 13, 14 yards.
Right. Regardless,
ideally.
I'm a big fan of getting them right in the wheelhouse, boys.
That's no joke.
So
what?
I need it.
Yeah.
And honestly, the reason I haven't got one yet is right around the time I was really interested in getting one of those, we all got into coyote hunting pretty heavily.
Uh-huh.
And that has taken a lot of my effort, money.
Resources, money. Yeah, the rigs you guys just purchased would look nice.
My wife's right upstairs, so be quiet. every time I get some extra money, it goes to something with that. And so that's probably why I haven't got one yet. But, man, it's just like I want one so bad. And I've got the book right in my office, just circled, ready to go.
Yep.
Just need to give them a call and do it.
Well, we're on the topic of archery. I've come up with this idea, and I haven't even told my wife yet.
Uh-oh.
And I have an idea in my head. I want to make it work. So we, you know, built our house. We got the back deck right. Goes down. I'm trying to rig up a pulley system so I can run my target out. Because I can get 30 yards, I think, if I go at an angle towards my shed.
Sure.
Like,
absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about?
Just bring it back to you.
And run a cable with a pulley so I can slide the target down, a block target, and then be able to pull it back up, take my arrows out, and slide it back down.
Or I have a better idea.
And also, Kendall could use it as a zip line.
Double, right?
Or I got a better idea. You could just not be lazy and walk 30 yards to get your arrows.
But I don't have the steps on my deck.
need to get them.
Right, I'm on the list.
So, what Hoyt is that? Is that a carbon bow?
No, it's an older hedge, aluminum riser.
So what year is that bow, do you know?
It's 9 years old, 10
See,
years old.
Me and Pete are still.
I got a tough time changing, man, once I find something that's a killer.
I mean, if you got something that works for you, why change? I regret selling my last bow. I had a Matthews Adrenaline, and I was shooting tacks with that thing all the time. I was just money. For whatever reason, I decided I needed to get a new bow. Because
you're going elk hunting with us.
Yeah, it was the elk trip, actually. And I was like, I want to get a new bow. And I got one, so I sold that. And I shoot okay with the new one, but it's not like that Adrenaline like it was. So
everybody's got new bows in our group. But I'm now shooting a 12-year-old Bowtech Assassin.
Something.
Does it kill?
Yes, and I'm comfortable with it. It's small. I'm not big, so I love, how easy it is. And then, one of you guys, and it wasn't you, let me shoot your bow. And as soon as I held it, I'm like, damn, this thing is heavy compared to
all the newer ones are
my bow.
Quite a bit heavier than, that
which
one.
I would
then,
think.
But then the Hoyt Carbons or whatever, they kind of light
up.
The
RX-5s or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the new ones are.
But, the price tag on those is outrageous.
Yeah.
So
I'm probably just going to get mine restrung. Maybe not this year. I think it's good to go. But get it restrung, keep running it.
I still have my favorite bow I've had. Anarchy. It's still sitting there because, like I said, it's hard to get rid of a left-hand 31.5-inch draw link.
I've got a couple I've tried to sell for $100, and you can't even get a bite on those. So it's just like, just put it as a backup rig.
Exactly. Unless you're going to turn them within a year or two of them being new, you might as well keep it.
Yeah, there's no resale value in them hardly. No. For the most part.
I believe Ted Nugent said he's got every bow he's ever owned, other than maybe one or so. So we're just going to have to go that road. Yeah. Just keep everything we have.
Collector's item.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and honestly, Pat had this come up a couple years ago, if you remember. We went to damn Colorado, and everything was fine. And we get back to Missouri, and he's walking through, and a thorn cuts his string.
Oh, seriously?
Like, second week of October or something. Like, the worst time. And he didn't have a backup. And I'm like, it's not the worst idea if you get a new bow, keeping the old one and making sure it's still good to go.
Yeah.
Just in case something hits the fan and you can't get it fixed.
We've been on enough out-of-state hunts. I carry extra D-loop string. Yeah. I've got the sights marked, everything, because, it happens. Yeah.
Yep.
Shit goes wrong, and if you're 12, 13 miles in the backcountry from a archery shop, it's tough to get to.
Yeah. That would ruin your weekend, too. What kind of... I'm just kind of curious now at this point. So you still run those broadheads you were telling us about before?
I've shot
Knapp Spitfires.
Forever.
I looked them up.
Yep. They've been around for a good minute.
Is that a solid?
It's a mechanical. It's a fold behind mechanical. Yeah. NAP's put them out for, decades, honestly. Yeah. But I've never had one fail. It's one of those things. It just doesn't go wrong. And
The only one I hear that fails all the time is the Rage. That's the only one that I hear that fails.
I don't ever want a bad mouth
Rage,
company.
Rage,
I mean, I don't either.
That was Micah.
I don't know. I said it.
Ones the front deploying, the ones with the rubber bands that have to, fold from, front. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the rubber band holds them closed.
Yeah.
I've always heard about those, not deploying because they hit. And instead of pushing out, it sinks into the animal first so that the rubber band never gets
expanded or whatever.
The rages,
I would not know.
I don't know. I'm curious how much people, like, they say they don't deploy, or was it just a bad shot?
I had two instances. I don't know. It was the only time I didn't shoot Spitfires. I jumped on that bandwagon,
yeah.
I don't know, 2-3 years after I hit the market and
yeah.
hit two deer that I've killed with Knapp Spitfires in the past. And it was 3 days apart, and I literally sold them when I got back into town the next day and just screwed my Spitfires back on it and haven't looked back. So
yeah.
Teach their own. Yeah. I mean, they work. You run
there's
the rage.
There's
you run
so
the rage
many variables with any broadhead you
all
shoot.
Of them, yeah.
Like, I had some issues with some solid broadheads I shot, which made me switch to Iron Wills. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anybody else have issues, but I had blood trail issues, so I'm like, I'm gonna try something else.
Confidence kills with archery, and put a good shot on it at the end of the day. You've got to wait for a good shot.
Yeah, put
every
right
broadhead's going to kill if you put a good shot on it.
That's very true.
That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm 1-for-1 with Severs, so I'm going to stick with those.
They're a mean piece of a broadhead at the tip of an arrow.
You should look into a dude. His name is John. Is it John Lusk?
I think it's John.
John Lusk with Lusk Archery Adventures. On YouTube, he does broadhead reviews, and he's got it's pretty cool because he's trying to be as scientific as possible and give the same test to every broadhead he takes. And he's developed his test through the years. And so, like, now he's doing where he'll shoot, I don't remember what he does, but at the end he does a durability test where he shoots these broadheads through steel plates 5 times to see how they hold up. And he did it with mechanicals. He used to only do it with solids before. And he's like, screw it, I'll start doing it with mechanicals. And these Severs held up just as good as a lot of solids did in these steel plates. And so he was doing all these different reviews with different broadheads, and he's like, I like these.
It's the only one that's stuck in the cinder block, too.
Yeah, it's stuck in the cinder block, too. Yeah, he would shoot them into cinder blocks.
In case, you know, I'm shooting cinder
blocks.
Just in
case we're hunting steel and cinder blocks.
And they're not that expensive. Like, they're $12 a piece?
Comparably, no, they're $7 or $8 a piece.
Yeah, they're direct to consumer, so save some money there.
Yeah, so Andy bought, actually, we were doing our show with John, and Andy was buying them online.
Well, because you're talking about confidence kills. I had zero confidence in any broadhead that I had at the time, and I was looking for a new one and watching. All right,
we were leaving
talking to him.
Leaving in what,
10 days or something like that?
I think it was like, quicker than that.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. And I was like, you know what? I had just bought Rages because I was going back to Rages because that's what I've killed a few deer on.
Yeah, you've had no issues with them.
I never had any issues with them.
Yeah.
And I had 2 brand-new packs of Rages, and we're talking to Lusk, and he's like, actually, you know, these would be the ones I'd go with. If you like the Rage, I'd look at these. So I ordered them and haven't looked, you know.
Yeah.
As I say, I haven't looked back. It's been a year, but
right,
hadn't been that long.
You did kill a deer with one.
I did kill a deer.
Smoked them, too. Went through your shoulder.
Went through 2 shoulders.
Yeah,
but
hypodermic
12 yards.
No, it was the sever.
The sever. Yeah, the sever. Has like a
which is a
more of a chisel type too.
Rear deploy, correct?
I'll be honest, it looks identical to the Rage deployment system. It has a few different things. Yeah. It allows it to swing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a swivel system, so like they're able to go around solid objects. They're supposed to.
Yep.
So if it hits a bone, it can
shift
instead of breaking. Yeah. I don't know. I've never shot a mechanical in my life, so I don't know anything about them. But I'm not saying I'm never do it.
So I shoot single bevel VAPs out of my traditional bows, and it's tough to beat a single bevel all steel broadhead. They've been killing stuff for centuries. Well, you see some of the testing they've done too on it. It's like it's one of the best producing as far as wound channels and stuff.
Yeah,
because
it's supposed to that single bevel kind of get that twist in there.
VAPs
and
twists. So.
When I bought my Iron Wills, I almost bought the singles. I bought the double. And then John was like, the Iron Wills are really high end as far as the material used. Of course, they're also high end in the price. They're like $35 a piece. So I don't even want to shoot the damn things practicing because I'm like, I don't want to dole this thing up before I actually shoot it on an animal. And if I lost the damn thing practicing, I get pissed.
It gets you about a gallon and a half of gas these days.
Shit. That's true.
Yeah, if you lose that thing, you can't get back to the hunting spot.
Let's talk about what y'all do.
Yeah,
Missouri Disabled Sportsman.
Fair enough. So Missouri Disabled Sportsman, honestly, it's an all-volunteer-based nonprofit organization here in Missouri. Honestly, our goal is to get mobility-impaired folks, kids, and then terminally ill kids opportunities in the outdoors, whether it's hunting, fishing, shooting sports, outdoor education, and just give them opportunities to get out and experience some of the things that able-bodied folks get to take for take advantage of every day. So
take for granted.
Yeah.
Take for granted. Yeah. Honestly, yep. I took it for granted until the first day I showed up, boys. That's kind of why I got involved when I first did is I just volunteered at an event because of some guys I'd met through a different online hunting forum we'd become friends with. But first guy I got paired up with the first day, I was like, holy shit. 2 hours before we got to go out for a hunt, he started to get ready and do stuff. And then, honestly, slogging through a field with a rolling wheelchair, you know, through mud and snow. I was like, it was pretty eye-opening to this guy. So, I jumped in.
How long have you been doing it for?
I think my first event was 2013 when I showed up.
For a while,
yeah, so I mean, I'll be honest, it was. I've been so into the outdoors since I was young. I mean, I started duck hunting and fishing at 4 years old with my dad up in Minnesota. But so my free time was always outdoors anyway. So it was an opportunity. Honestly, I'd moved down here to Missouri. I did have some friends, but not a whole lot in the hunting community.
Right.
But it gave me another reason I could look at my wife and be like, I'm going to go help some guys in some wheelchairs and some young kids get into the outdoors.
Yeah.
She can't really tell me you can't argue with that.
I'm going to go do my public service.
I'm going to go try to sneak in some more weekends. But it was honestly just a way to give back, man. And like I said, once I saw it that first day, like, this guy was all in. I mean, and from that point forward, I mean, the organization has grown leaps and bounds.
That's awesome.
I got a little more involved on the director side. I'm not taking credit for it. It has been a team adventure since day one.
Right.
We've had a strong group of supporters that got the organization actually founded and off the ground. But since then, man, it's not only Missouri-wide, but we've had some guys out-of-state hunts. We've had some phone calls to get some opportunities in the coming years. We can talk about some of that, obviously, down the road here. But, I mean, it's grown to a network of somewhere around 300 volunteers in the state.
Wow.
40-plus landowners. We work with the Department of Conservation almost exclusively on every event now.
Did you just have an event this last weekend?
We had a couple of them. It was the first time ever in our history.
That kind of pissed me off.
We had two events this
weekend. When I saw that, I'm like, damn it, what? Why? My timing is always so horrible. You know, I got this list of, like, people I want to talk with, and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to get this guy. And then as I'm doing some research, getting ready for the show, I'm like, they just had an event last weekend.
Down Montauk State Park, right?
Yeah, it was.
I should have done this 2 weeks ago.
It was our inaugural trout fishing event. We actually had, I kind of feel like a dick, but I was out of town. My nephew, that is my godson, graduated up in Minnesota.
Yeah,
so,
you got a reason.
Yeah, but, I mean, same thing I'll go back to it. The team of volunteers absolutely carried the weight. I mean, they jumped in, but, we were down at Montauk. We had six guys down there trout fishing. Had an awesome day down there.
I love that place. Yeah. That place is, beautiful, my family used to go down there, camp, and do a little trout fishing and whatnot.
I think we finished one limit shy for the six-man limit down there.
Can't beat
that. So they caught a ton of fish, had a nice fish fry, and then we had just a kind of fundraiser fun shoot up here at Smithville Lake at KCTA at their trap and skeet range on Saturday, too, that had a decent turnout, but something we're looking to grow up here, too, just to get people out into the shooting sports and opportunities as well, too. So
How do you figure out what you're going to do every year? Because I'm guessing, as an organization gets bigger, your opportunities to maybe do more things also grows.
100%.
But you can't do every little thing, I'm guessing, that you want to do or that people offer to you or, want you to be able to do. So how do you prioritize what you're going to try to do every year, especially so you can serve as many people as you
want? Sure. So the beauty of, us being so volunteer-based and the network we have of volunteers, we've got a dozen key events, and that's growing every year that we're actually putting on, specifically sponsored by us. But if somebody needs support somewhere around the state, we've got a volunteer network that can make that happen. Mm. So like the KCTA thing this weekend, we had a group of eight people up here.
Right.
There was, I believe, 19, 20 volunteers down at Montauk. That network's grown so big that we can facilitate doing events. So if there's something that landowners want to do or you guys want to create an opportunity, I've said it since day one, even if it's for one individual, we've probably got a network of people that can help facilitate that.
That's awesome.
Me and Nate were talking before the show, and I've experienced a lot of hesitancy from new volunteers. I know it's probably kind of intimidating, not only from the a mobility impaired person's aspect, but from somebody that's maybe never dealt or had interactions with somebody that's got an impairment to jump in and volunteer and maybe not, gun shy about how you could help them or whatever. But at the end of the day, all they want is somebody there to help. Like if I could tell somebody to do it once, you'll be hooked. There's really not a whole lot of special needs that these individuals need. They live their lives daily with these impairments already. They don't need you to hold their hand to get through that. They need help getting to a blind. they need help working the shooting sticks. You know, they need help identifying which deer we're shooting. It's not rocket science what we're doing out there. We're being their friend. We're being a guide. We're being a mentor and just a support service for them to get out and pursue the passion that we get to do at the end of the day. So
I think sometimes that's like you were saying, like we talked about a little bit before recording, is for someone who doesn't have an impairment or but does want to help, it's honestly just being ignorant to the fact that I don't know what I don't know.
Yep.
So I don't know, am I gonna hurt you more? Am I gonna do something to you? What can I not do? So a lot of times when you have those hesitations, a natural instinct for most humans is to do what?
Just check out.
Don't do it.
Don't even do it. Yeah.
I want to be able to help. Yep. I want to do this, but I'm not sure what to do, so I'm just not going to.
I had 100% of those same feelings driving up to that first deer hunt in 2013. You know, what am I even doing here? What am I supposed to do? We're not going to hurt any of these individuals that may have an impairment any more than they already are. So that's one thing to be said. I don't want to sound jaded about it, but like they've dealt with enough struggles. Like they're going to tell you what they need. We do a bit of a vetting process through all of our events too. So we kind of know what we're getting with. We ask them what some of their impairments mean. So we have some of those resources readily available when they show up. So it's not a shit show, honestly, trying to get things together and make sure that we can facilitate getting those people into the field. Yep. So
Yeah,
but it is intimidating. Jump in, though. It's not.
That makes total sense.
It's we all do these outdoor things daily. You know, we know what we're doing. We're the mentors. That's all they're looking for. It's a support unit so they can go and pursue what we're doing. So,
well, and honestly, you know, when you meet somebody who has such a passion for the outdoors, like we had a guest and you listened to his show, Vince Houseman, his friend, good friend, Tristan Williams brought him down and they came down to our house and did a show with Vince about his first deer he got to kill. What is it, last year now, I guess?
Two years ago now.
Timing me, don't do well. Anyways, and, you know, just watching the passion come out of him about, you know, every time he saw something or what he was able to do, and him and Tristan talking about the first time he went, they used to turkey hunt more than the deer hunt side, and, you know, running and gunning, and just the passion he has, his disability has nothing to do with any of it.
Yeah,
it's not. It doesn't exist to him.
It never does.
By the way, hey Vince, what's up, buddy?
Yep.
Because I'm sure he'll listen to us. Hopefully he will. If not, Tristan, say hi to Vince for us. But
we make it a point when we hold our events that disabilities are so in the forethought. I mean, it's no one there is disabled. Right. We're there as a hunting environment. We're our friends. We are family. We're there whether it's a fishing camp, a deer camp, you know, an upland bird hunt. Yep. The disabilities don't matter. It's everyone's on equal playing ground. What's real cool and what we've got to see just over the years is we're pretty intentional about partnering able-bodied youth kids with people with mobility impairments in almost every event. Super intentional about it for multiple reasons, right? Gets these younger kids obviously in contact, dealing with people with impairments. They're on the same playing field. They all have the same passion. We've seen so many kids jump in after the fact and come back for secondary hunts, and you're almost planting that volunteer seed is what I like to call it, and just breaking those barriers down and hopefully creating advocates for folks with, you know, impairments and disabilities in the future. So it's pretty cool to see happen organically at those events, and the walls aren't there. So,
are these a lot of like first time hunters, or have they been out before? Or is it probably just a mixed bag?
No, it's a mixed bag, honestly. Again, we're super intentional about getting repetitive opportunities to folks. So if you show up in an event, whether you're a kid or a mobility impairment, we're going to be super intentional. If you want to keep coming back, we're going to try to give you multiple touch points, multiple contact points.
So you're trying to keep that fire going.
One and done does nothing for anybody. Yeah, isn't an opportunity great? Are we getting someone hooked? Are we getting them possibly back into the outdoors from an extended break because of an injury, something like that? Probably not. You do it 3, 4, 5 times, you're going to get those folks back into it and hooked. So we're super intentional about that. On the other side of things, recruitment's something we're looking to every year. We try to recruit 20, 25 new folks into our events, regardless of what it is, fishing, upland bird hunt, the deer hunts. Yeah, we're always looking to get new people involved into it, so...
I know you said you almost had over 300 volunteers, but how many participants do you guys have?
On average, we average right around 300 plus contacts a year between youth and then mobility impairment folks. that does include some events and other organizations that we just help kind of sponsor some of their events as well too. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all trying to accomplish the same goal. So
if
we can help somebody else's event be successful. Yeah. But right around 300, and it's growing every year. We're going to blow that out of the water this year, I believe.
Oh, really?
By the time we get done with it, just because of some of these new events we've kicked off. And we'll get to it here in a little bit. I think we'll talk about the track chairs with the Department of Conservation. But
I've been itching so to awesome. Ask about that oh, boys, the entire are, time, but I'm are, like, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, until... we can wait. They're badass, but we've got a pretty sweet
announcement. I'm looking at one right now.
Yeah, a pretty sweet announcement about them, too, that we're excited about. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm gonna bite my tongue on wait asking that question yet, though.
Yeah. So far as, though, back to what Micah said, though, like people that want to get involved or if folks are looking for an opportunity, all of our events, you know, through the Facebook, social media are always listed, you know, several months in advance. And then the Department of Conservation events page has pretty much every event listed at some point, too.
Okay.
So just a simple application process in most cases.
But I'm looking through what you sent me, and – I mean, it looks like you can pretty well get involved whether you're wanting to be a volunteer or a participant all across the state.
Pretty much, yeah.
You got, you know, deer hunts, managed deer hunts, turkey hunts, snow goose, rabbit hunts, shooting events, fishing, out-of-state hunts even.
Yeah.
Do you try to cover like almost everything you could basically do in a state?
You know, all
as
of these
best you can.
All of these events have kind of grown in the last 12 years just out of ideas from volunteers. I'll be again, somebody wanted to, it's somebody's passion to snow goose hunt.
They share their passion.
Somebody's passion to rabbit hunt. And because of the network of landowners, you know, we make a phone call. We've very rarely run into folks. And when we go, someone that's outdoor enthusiast, if you show up and ask to bring some kids or bring some with an impairment out, most of these landowners are so welcoming to us.
Yeah.
And most of them become family with the organization. The deer hunt that we do in Northeast Missouri was our first event. Well, the upland bird hunt was the first one, but the deer hunt was kind of our core group of really mobility impaired folks. Mm-hmm. And it started with like four or five guys. We're up to about a dozen now. But the network of landowners, I mean, it's 1,200 acres. I think 16 or 17 different landowners all through like four counties up in Northeast Missouri.
That's
we
awesome.
Have dinner Friday night, and it's like welcoming your family members back in. So it's cool how the community has grown. And that happens pretty much every corner of the state.
And it's in Northeast Missouri.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. Can't it's go wrong there.
It's antlerless only, boys. It's antlerless only. But no, it's just.
That would really suck to see one of them freaking Pike County monsters. I don't know what county it's even in, but, you know, Pike County is obviously a county everybody knows.
In Illinois, there. I mean, there's Pike County, Missouri, but the famous
both.
Ones.
Well,
in
they
Illinois,
touch. Yeah. There's, that's they why touch. I call it Twin Pikes because they're Pike County, Illinois, and Missouri.
Never mind, I can't say.
We're up through all the way through Macon, Adair, Knox County. It's a pretty good stretch, so it's not bad deer country. Not one bit.
I mean, you're helping out the landowners too. You know, managing does and that sort of thing.
So. And that's why we moved that antlerless hunt to that weekend. Honestly, is it created more opportunities? I mean, rifle season. Everybody and their families. You know, they're out.
Oh yeah.
Doing their deer thing, shooting bucks and whatnot. So it makes it a little easier to get in the gate when we're out just managing does for it.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, but same thing with the turkey hunt down in Southwest Missouri. It started with two hunters and one landowner, and it's this year we rolled out six guys down there, five different farms. I mean, it's just it continues to grow everywhere we go. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And based on these pictures I'm looking at, you guys have success.
We do have success. It's a success every hunt, but putting some meat in the freezer at the end of the day. Yeah, it's the beauty of some of these farms, man.
Bonus successes.
Some of these landowners, I mean, they are well-managed, well-maintained private farms that they support the mission. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we do try to put targets in front of our participants as much as possible. So,
well, for sure. I mean, you know. It's obviously, we know it's a blessing just to get out in the woods, and I'm sure they know that too, but get them out there and them harvest something, that just makes it all that more awesome.
It's a little icing on the cake.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. I mean, it. Like Micah said, it's great to be out in the woods, but, you know, you hunt for 10 straight years without seeing a deer, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You start to wonder if they even exist.
Yeah, right.
You know, wait, all these people say they kill deer. I don't even know that they exist, right? I mean,
they just run down the side of the road.
You know? Run right into our truck.
Yeah,
it goes back a little bit, and we've already talked about him earlier in the show, but it stuck with me when he said it, when Walt said that on the Movets podcast we did about you know, just being outdoors has that natural healing for the mental state. It takes you back to the he got deep into it. I mean, about how, you know, the same wavelength of nature basically takes you back into that. Yeah. And kind of has that relaxing and calming deal of all the stuff I'm sure some of these guys have to deal with on the day-to-day stuff. Like you said, they deal with. They don't ask for any special treatment. Their disability is just – it's not a disability to them. That's just life.
It's life.
Yeah. Right. And so to go out in nature and get back to that natural rhythm, I guess, of everything's –
we never look for a thank you, I guess. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, that's not when any of these volunteers are here. But when you get an individual out in the field that's in a wheelchair or whatever, and they spend a day, whether it's shooting pheasants or a weekend at deer camp, and they go to leave and they say, you know what? I didn't think about being in this chair for the last 8 hours, 2 days. Sold, you know?
Yep.
I mean, that's, at the end of the day, what more could you ask for? It takes their mind off of them. Like you said, it puts them in a... It's a sweet spot. The outdoors should be a place of relaxation and rest for everybody. Because I know it heals this guy's soul most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Nice. And so, you deal with people with all kinds of different different situations.
Yeah.
You could deal with people who have been in a wheelchair their entire lives.
Yeah.
You could deal with people that have been in a wheelchair for 2 years.
Yep.
And, you know, those people might be coming from totally different mental states at
different
this
stages.
Point. You know,
different perspectives,
mean,
yeah.
You know, a kid that's been in one their whole life, that's all they know. I mean, you know, that's how they live. They're used to maybe potentially how their life is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a guy or gal who maybe got in a car wreck 2 years ago and is paralyzed at this point.
They're still learning.
I mean, they're just trying to, you know, live at this point.
True
and
story.
They used to climb tree stands. I mean, we had one of Micah's buddies on a few months ago named Danny who had a stroke because
of
COVID.
Yeah, I listened to that episode, yeah.
And all of a sudden, couldn't even freaking climb a tree stand, drive a four-wheeler, couldn't hunt at night. Well, not hunt at night, get out of a tree and leave at night.
Yeah.
You know, just all these things you take for granted as a person who doesn't have those things.
He wasn't night hunting before, guys.
That's not what I said. You know, just people come from different perspectives.
For sure.
And that's got to be cool because you sometimes can probably see that in an individual.
I think the secondary, it's almost secondary healing for some of these
guys. It's a little bit selfish, right? Like you're doing it to feel great. I mean,
100%. I've never walked away from, we've said it all the time when we do our post event, you know, meetings with the board of directors. And I mean, there's tears, there's grown men in tears, there's women in tears. It's like, it hits her right in the ticker.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to, but to be able to put folks that maybe are in wheelchairs or have different, you know, impairments together in that structure too, and get them to kind of spend time on people on the same playing field dealing with the same, you know, issues they are. I think there's some healing in that as well too, and some camaraderie that's created.
Oh, no
that.
Doubt.
And I know for a fact, like, we've got a network. I mean, we've got some younger kids, you know, with spina bifida, or in wheelchairs, stuff like that. But some of these older gentlemen that have been in wheelchairs for 15, 16, 17 years are mentors. They're in touch constantly, you know.
Yeah.
So we're creating some of those connections as well that are just secondarily benefits of the good we're hopefully doing out there.
That's badass.
Yeah.
With these events and stuff that you'll put on, I'm assuming, you know, you have a vetting process of who you're going to bring on and, you know, take out.
Mm-hmm.
Once you make that decision, pretty much everything's facilitated, right? Like, do you cover, you have the rifles, you have the shotguns, whatever the case may be?
If needed, we have the resources to cover everything equipment-wise. We typically do ask the participants to purchase their own hunting licenses, just so all of that's legal and on the up and up on that front. A lot of our events, if they're like overnight events, we'll procure room and board. But yeah, as far as getting them out in the field, whether it's track chairs, guns, crossbows, clothing, you name it. Yeah, we've got all those bases covered for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty much hands off if they want to participate. The partnership with the Department of Conservation, too. I mean, I'd be remiss. Yeah. I'm going to get into it here in a bit, but like their outdoor education program here across the state, it's like if people aren't taking advantage of it, they're missing the boat.
We're really blessed with the conservation we have. I mean, and I've said it before, they don't do everything perfect, but they do a lot of things right in my eyes. So we, as a state of Missouri, we're blessed to have the conservation that we do have.
I've done just with the public speaking and talking about the organization and dealing with them on a daily basis. They're one of the best in the country. And like you said,
I don't even know if that's debatable.
It's not debatable. They're probably
the best. If we're really being honest,
they are the best conservation department in the country. And I've been to multiple states around the nation, and I can tell you firsthand, a lot of them don't run like ours do.
Yeah.
yeah, is everything perfect? Probably not. But at the end of the day, like, we've got a sweet thing going here. So partnering with them, it's been instrumental in the growth and the success of all of our events, honestly.
I mean, honestly, that 1% sales tax when it was passed long
God
time
bless
ago
Missouri
was
citizens
the
back
best,
in the day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the best thing that ever happened to
yeah,
our state.
It's pretty crazy, and you start to see it anymore. I mean, not to get political, but you see some of the shit happening all over the country and budgets getting taken and, you know.
That can't get touched.
Biologists, yeah. I mean, well, we've got a good thing going here. But yeah. We've got to participate in that, too. I mean, it's a thing I'd say, like, take advantage of it. Use these resources. The education specialists around the state, that's their job. They want to get out, and they want to educate people and provide opportunities. So,
yeah. You know, I'm going through all these really cool events you guys have been doing with, like, I listed a little bit a couple minutes ago. There's only one I don't see in here.
Coyotes.
You know, boys, I left it out on purpose, boys.
I was waiting for. I was like, he hasn't said coyotes
for this conversation.
Some of these kids want to go with some really shitty coyote hunters and learn how to not do it.
They already go with pretty shitty deer hunters and pretty shitty fishermen, so it's probably nothing new.
I guess quality of hunter is not part of that vetting process.
Have you ever killed anything before?
One time I did.
It's happened.
We honestly, predator is something some of our participants have asked about. It's just, it's kind of facilitating that. I'll be honest, a lot of our board members probably aren't, between bow hunting, archery hunting, everything else, predator's just not on the forefront. But if there's an opportunity, boys, we'll get some people to show up and shoot some dogs.
We might have to look into that.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have to figure something out.
The unions here in Kansas City, like the laborers unions, whether it's the pipe fitters, the IBEW have been huge supporters of us, the roofers, the painters unions, all of them for multiple years, but a couple of their volunteers are pretty ate up with the dogs like you guys are too. Mm-hmm. So I think if we got your boys sitting down in a room, we could probably get something together.
Oh, I'm sure we could, for sure.
Those track chairs will get them wherever they need to, boys.
Nice segue.
Yeah, nice segue. Let's go to it.
Because that's what I was getting at. I'm like, you know, with these damn things, we could get people where we needed to get them.
How late at night do they like to stay up?
Well, yeah, because night season would be a really fun time for someone to thermal season.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my gosh.
These track chairs have lights on them, boys. They can navigate.
See, they can get
to
where they need to.
Get wherever we need to. I say it all the time. I've yet to get one stuck. I'm sure as shit trying. We've yet to get one stuck. We've had a few battery incidences, but they're absolute tanks, and they're game changers for what we've been able to do.
I bet.
Yeah, I believe, again, the Department of Conservation, I think they've got 14 of them around the state.
That's what it says here. Yeah.
So
let's get into that.
I'll try to be an expert. I did sign off on their training course on them. No, what they are, it's Action Track Chair is the name of the company. I believe they're up out of Minnesota, but partnership with Department of Conservation. I'm not sure of the date. I'm not even going to throw it out there, but I believe Bass Pro Shops, QDMA, back in the day, there were some big partners that all kind of jumped in on the program. Purchased 14 of them. They're spread out across the state from Kansas City, Kirksville, Boone County region, Springfield. Any partnered event that the Department of Conservation participates in, you can request to use those track chairs in advance. Again, a lot of it's just going through like your county and or your MDC regional outdoor education coordinator. Obviously, there's some logistic planning, you know, that takes place. Right. So calling them 2 days ahead of time and telling you need some track chairs, probably not going to happen. But with enough advance, they'll roll these things out for just about anywhere. I'll be honest, I didn't know about the program when we first got involved with this because of our first initial partnerships with the Department of Conservation. It just came up through, you know, talk after one of the events that these were available. So we rolled them out to a hunt. I think we brought in three the first time, and the participants, I mean, it was immediately, you know, changed how we were able to get these guys into the field with the ease and the access of that logistics.
Yeah.
And since that
have you seen these, Andy?
Yeah, they were sitting up there when we went to Duckhorn.
Yeah,
they were?
Duckhorn.
There's two of them sitting up there.
Yep, yeah.
Where?
In their shop part.
Big shed.
No shit.
Yeah, in the shop, yeah.
They're sitting, I guess they were back around the corner.
Oh.
When we walked in, we went to that room. If you went in and then, there's some overhead doors.
Must not have been paying attention. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they're bad machines. They're all-terrain. Basically, they have tank tracks on them.
Mm-hmm. They look like a mini skid loader is what it reminds me of.
I mean, they have three-plane leveling. Some of them do. So when you're going, you know, up or down hills, they can recline.
Like you're still.
Incline, decline to kind of take that gravity off of them.
So, you mentioned the MDC, like,
to use them, you have to be like using one of their programs. So what? Touch on that.
It's just basically got to be an MDC partnership. They're not going to loan those chairs out to just an individual,
right.
Basically, to say, you know, I want to go deer hunt for the day on so and so's farm. You're not.
So if it's a partnership program, then you can request the use of it.
100%. So whether it's a school program, you know, an outdoor event program at anywhere in the state,
yeah,
they don't got to be used for hunting and fishing. I mean, take a kid down a hiking trail,
right?
Yeah,
you know, whatever it is, but.
And a good portion of what you guys do is with MDC, a lot of your programs.
100%.
However, it doesn't even have to be that anymore for you guys, right?
That is correct, sir. we
See,
are about
I
to
did my
announce,
homework.
Yeah, great segue on your part, right? We have been working through or with MDC on a partnership, a kind of a grant proposal, and with some other supporters of ours. Logistically speaking, like I got back to, it's a lot of work to get these
right.
delivered to places. I think MDC just wants me off their back at this point.
Stop calling
yeah,
me.
Yeah, stop calling us
once a week.
They worked with some of their budgeting and funding and again some other supporters, and we are have ordered 4 of our own tractors.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sportsmen. So we're going to have our private fleet. We're going to have our own trailer to haul them in. And it's just going to allow us to obviously continue
to
increase the opportunities.
Have a little more freedom.
A little more freedom, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Reduce some of the logistics that the politics of MDC binds mm-hmm. them by. Something we're super excited about organizationally is getting our guys out of state. That's been one of the hurdles. The MDC track chairs have to be used with MDC vehicles, insurance, liability.
Right, sure.
We're going to be able to negate some of that with this program and basically open up some doors outside of the borders. So
awesome.
It's going to be huge. And I mean, I'd be remiss not to give a shout out Kyle Larimore, Justin McGuire with MDC, Rob Garver are some of the driving units in those. So they've been awesome supporters of it, and we couldn't be more thrilled with it. Honestly, I just approved the logo wrapping on the trailer yesterday.
And oh, really?
It's going to look pretty sweet. So.
Nice.
You got an enclosed trailer, I'm assuming.
Enclosed trailer.
Nice.
Yep.
Can't beat that.
But some of these tractors even get some of these guys vertically standing too. You know, depending on their disability, mm-hmm. it'll stand them straight up so they can upland bird hunt, do stuff like that in a vertical position. So something that many of them have not done for multiple years, obviously. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't even want to know what the price tag is on one of those. So, I mean, that's awesome.
They're not cheap, but, you know, if there's any companies, anybody around the state that wants to help us out, we'd like to get 8 of them. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
more the merrier.
Yeah.
Well, and do remember that, listeners, because at the end here, we're, you know, Pete's going to obviously give contact information. So if people do want to help out with not just, you know, track chairs, but
get involved, or
you know,
anything.
Let's say you're a guy like me, let's say, I do want to become involved in things. We're doing there's an annual deer youth hunt in our area that we want to become more involved in as a podcast. And honestly, this sounds like something I really would want to do. But there's a lot of people that time is limited, like you're saying, right?
100%.
I've got 4 children. I want to hunt myself. I want to take them hunting. And then you add other things. Sometimes people can't physically do things, but there's other ways you can help out. I mean,
for sure.
I'm not
here asking to open wallets, but yeah, money talks. I mean, none of these events are cheap.
The track chairs,
but I mean, I'll just throw it out there. The Upland Bird Hunt has been it's our flagship event. It gets mm-hmm. the most people out in the field. We host about 30 kids, but it's about a $14,000-$15,000 ticket for a 1-day event. And you go to talk to Duckhorn Outdoor Adventures or anybody, I mean, it's pretty much the running rate for those events. It's not cheap to do these. So again, the supporters and the network that we built, the unions here in Kansas City, I mean, they've been awesome. I mean, but it helps us drive that train. So funding, especially in this day and age, I know is tight for everybody, but we're not going to misuse that funding. I can assure you. And
we
volunteer everybody to show up, and I'll show you how we're spending the money.
We didn't even mention this first. So if people do want to, you know, help out down the road, you guys are a non-for-profit 501c3.
100% 501c3 non-profit, have been founded since 2008. We've been a registered 501c3. So everything's on the up and up. Tax donations as far as, you know, businesses, private donations, stuff like that. So
what's your primary source of funding? I mean, what do you do to generate your primary?
It is all fundraising, to be completely mm-hmm. honest, Andy. I mean, I hate to beat the drum, the unions here. I mean, when we go to the table or knock on their door and ask them for funding, they never skip a beat. I'll put a little pressure on the St. Louis side of the state, to be completely honest. Kansas City's carrying the ship around here. So, But yeah, it's private. It's private funding. conservation heritage.
That Andy.
Foundation.
Andy said
yeah.
that Sorry. Once again to our St. Louis listeners. That was Andy that said that.
Go but, Royals.
Go Royals.
Oh, God. Worst team in baseball, baby. Love you guys.
That's right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's all private fundraising. We've got some phenomenal, you know, private mm-hmm. supporters that have just – they've been supported the mission from day one that jump in anytime we need to. We do just like any organization does, you know, fundraising events, raffles, auctions, stuff like that. So,
yeah. So, I mean, you do have some events. You don't have any, like, main flagship events. You have multiple, I'm guessing.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So, yeah, there's not one main. We've talked about doing a big banquet and stuff like that. But, again, time, resources, yeah, right. yep. if we can.
It's a lot of money to even put a banquet on mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. attempt to raise some, you know.
We're pretty frugal with how we spend our money, I'll be honest. Yeah. I mean, it's been one of our missions, I guess, is, like, everything should go into equipment and or opportunities. So, you know. To put on a banquet and spend some of our money.
Right.
Yeah.
To hopefully make.
You know, may we make some money? Yeah. But
might also lose money. I mean,
could we spend it better? Yeah. I can assure you we can through experiences. Right. So yeah. that's kind of how we look at that. Yeah. So.
Well, and like I said, I mean, you do stuff all across the state.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, but schedules are schedules.
Understood.
And, you know, there might be somebody that listens to our show that didn't know y'all existed. Yep. You know, that's the idea of doing something like this.
End of the day, if we get some participants or people that may be mobility impaired, honestly, even just kids that want to get involved in the outdoors. Exactly. You know, we're in the Kansas City area. I see it every day. Like, there's a lot of youth that don't get an opportunity to get outside that urban environment. So yep. if there's kids, we want to take them. Department of Conservation wants to take them. But, yep. you know, at some point, there's got to be some personal accountability and take the first step to yep. register and or apply for a program.
Yeah. So, it doesn't even have to be volunteering time, volunteering money. It could be you know somebody
100%
who could really use this type of.
I say it all the time to people. Don't even invite them to one of our events. Take somebody else hunting. I mean, you mentioned it. You've mm-hmm. got kids. If you're getting your kids outdoors or somebody else's kid, it doesn't need to be a Missouri Disabled Sportsman event.
Right.
You know, do something in your own backyard.
Right.
End of the day, fair enough. You know, that's what we're looking for is across the board getting people out into the outdoors. So.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The one that would kill me the most is. You know, you work with terminally ill people.
It's pretty tough, man.
I don't know how much enjoyment I'd get out of that one. I'm sure I'd love it, but like at the same time,
said it, and I mean, I referenced Ted Nugent earlier, and I heard him on a podcast, a national podcast the other day, but he said something about what better gift and or thank you to have a parent and or a child that's terminally ill to their last wishes to want to come hunt or spend time with you or go into the outdoors. Yeah, is it tough to see? Is that child obviously... You know, terminally ill, 100%. If you can give that gift back to that kid, do it.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
it's like.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I just have to learn how to control my emotions. You both know I'm an emotional individual.
That's very true.
And I don't know how well I do.
I try to be pretty stoic, man. Yeah. But this guy has shed a tear or two in public. And it's like, it's tough not to, man. It's like, if it doesn't change you, I said it when we were talking before the show, you come to one of these events or you do an event with any of these organizations, and you didn't enjoy yourself or it doesn't change you, we're probably not going to be friends afterwards.
not the right place.
Yeah, we're not in the right crowd. So
what
it's
kind of a sociopath are you? You're just a dick, aren't you?
Yeah, something very wrong with you. So, yeah, it's just one of those things, man. Boom.
What else here? I mean, we kind of went through the different events y'all do each year. The track chair program is absolutely awesome. If y'all don't know what we're talking about, just Google what a track chair is. First off, they look badass.
They are.
You know, and then
they back it up, it sounds like.
You know, it's able to get people, obviously with mobility issues, to places that they will never get to go.
Yep.
Unless you got a guy like, you know, Vince and Tristan, where Tristan's just, you know,
yeah.
going wherever with them. And, you know,
no,
I mean, sure, that
boys, we try to avoid the wheelbarrows. So,
yeah. That's been a thing for them in their lives. Yeah.
You'll do what you have to, but you try to avoid it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Those are pretty badass.
Yeah,
you know?
No, we've seen some cool things, and I mean, they said it. It's whatever means necessary in some cases. We've had guys that are totally impaired from the waist down. I've watched them climb elevated shooting house ladders. You know, it's like, we'll do it safely. We'll figure out a way to get it done, but where there's a will, there's a way with everybody. So,
do you have a story or a person that like really stands out, like one of those one stories that like really hit home for you, or you know
how much time we got?
Probably honestly, quite a few.
This SD card is 32 gigs.
Yeah,
you
so
just keep going.
This guy is my heart's full with stories, but if we've got time, I've got three I'll touch on.
Do it. Let's hear it.
First one, one of my best friends right now. His name is William Hall. He's actually the first hunter that I sat with on that first hunt in 2013. Since then, we have, every chance I get, I've spent thousands of hours with this gentleman and blind. He puts in for the managed disabled deer hunts all over the state, which are typically on national wildlife refuges, places I'm not ever going to get to step foot, let alone watch a deer get shot. So besides being there with one of my best friends, we get access to some premier ground. So I want to say 2016, he got drawn for Swan Lake. November 6th, right in the heart of the frickin' rut here in Missouri, we rolled in, drew our blinds, rolled out 1 o'clock in the morning, or 1 o'clock in the afternoon to start the hunt, and I dropped him off in the blind, driving the truck back up the levee, and William texts me, and he's like, "Bud, I got a 140 in front of me. Truck is still going up the levee." From that point forward,
and then
no shot fired yet. I was about to say. So from that point forward, but it was probably the craziest whitetail rut action I've personally ever seen in my lifetime, where man's not involved. These deer were doing their deer things. They're not disturbed. It was literally, 72 different deer, I think we saw in the evening.
Deer.
Oh,
26 different bucks. I literally had to probably hold the gun down from Will shooting bucks all afternoon. It was just one of these days. It was on point. And had a, 150-inch shooter pop up 250 yards down the levee we're on. And we're watching it with binoculars out one side of the blind. And I had just glanced down the other side of the blind, and there was a couple of does out. That was it. Glance back again, and the second biggest deer I've ever seen on hoof is on the levee dogging a doe. And all I said to William is like, "Excuse me, grab your fucking gun. There's a shooter." We've been waiting hours, hundreds of hours for this opportunity to mature deer. Opposite side of the blind, behind Will's left shoulder. So I literally grabbed the wheels of his wheelchair, cranked him around. He's shooting out about a 1-foot by 1-foot window that's in the door of this blind, and this buck is dogging this doe through a wetland area and crosses a levee that's about chest deep with water.
Jeez.
Holy smokes.
Doe comes out and comes onto the dry ground, and that buck came out, and it was like God himself shined the sunlight down on this deer's rack, and it was just points everywhere.
Oh,
and
man.
And I said to Will, I was like, "Are you on him?" He's like, "Yep." I was like, "Shoot that SOB." And he anchored him, boys, and that deer hit, and water splashed up around. And he didn't kick. And I'm like, "Holy shit." Like, we just shot. We shot a world-class whitetail, right? Didn't, to this point, didn't know what it was. 110 yards out, maybe. I told Will, I was like, "Stay here. I'm going to go make sure, he's down. He's across this waterway, obviously. I'll figure something out." And Will looked at me. He's like, "Well, what the hell are you going to do?" I was like, "Don't worry about it." So I get down there, and I'm 15 yards from this deer, and I can just see points on the right side of it sticking up, out, stickers coming out, kickers. And I'm like, "Holy shit." But there was chest high water on a whitetail deer for about a half mile both directions to cross this waterway levee. And I looked at Will, and I looked at the deer, and this boy stripped down to his skivvies. Waded through that water on November 6th and floated that buck back across. Buddy, to this day, like, the celebration me and Will had up on that levee was
The hypothermia was setting in.
I wasn't worried about it. There was no hypothermia.
His blood was pumping. It was not slowing
blood
down.
Blood was pumping. But so that was, obviously one of the most memorable. I think ended up being like 186-inch deer.
Holy
16
smokes.
Pointers. It was a freaking giant. So that obviously jumps to mind.
Do you guys facilitate the taxidermy work?
No. You say that. All joking aside, the taxidermy was facilitated.
That's amazing.
We got some, awesome supporters and volunteers.
Awesome volunteers.
Yep. We blew up the phones once we got some pictures, and it was, some of our guys immediately said, "Hey, let's all chip in $100," and it was kind
that's
of within
awesome.
Probably 4 phone calls. So
wow.
Damn. Yeah, turned out a great pedestal mount. So
that's awesome.
But another one I'd just be remiss to touch on. I'm going to mention these guys by names, but Seth Turner and Nick Brandon are two of our guides. They've helped in our deer hunt for years. And we've got a gentleman that's been coming with us for 6 years, James Dean. Very disabled, severe medical issues, but man, you want to talk about a ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
Always a smile on his face. The first guy to say hello, shake your hand. We have been busting our ass. Well, Seth and Nick have been busting their ass. Along with the landowner to get a deer in front of James long enough that we could get him on a gun. And it would take him 2-3 minutes sometimes to pull a trigger just because of, the mobility issues. Yep. Working. I'm talking three seasons, four seasons, oh, deer in front of us, just not long enough, not long enough. Well, 2 years ago, we invested in one of the sip and puff shooting mechanisms. I don't know if
you guys have seen, that's what they control with your mouth, right?
Yep. So we invested in one of those, obviously, just to increase opportunities, and we've got some other individuals that needed some assistance. But you dial that in with one of those eye scopes and pair those two together, and it's a pretty lethal combination. So we put those two together this year, put James Dean on the shooting range, got him dialed in so that sip puff was working, shooting great, and we let her rip, right? We get him out to this landowner's property, first evening of our deer hunt. Seth's videotaping. That eye scope records everything. We have practiced, I don't know, 40 shots downrange, so we're dialed in, right? Doe pops out at, I don't know, 45, 50 minutes before shooting light ends, walks right down the pipe, 55 yards, eye scope footage. I mean, James is dialed in on this thing, and he goes to hit that sip puff machine, and all you hear is brrr, brrr, and the gun doesn't fire.
Oh.
The machine's going, but the trigger's not going. There might have been a few choice words from Seth. Deer takes a couple steps. Seth messes around with the gun a little bit. James gets back on this doe. Brrr, brrr, gun doesn't go off again. And at this point, Seth is like, he's cursing all things he can curse at this point. Nick's trying to calm him down. Deer gets off. They don't get a shot. So it's obviously pretty, everybody's pretty suspicious. Yeah. James
sit,
is just,
puff my ass.
Yeah, right, right. I need a refund.
Right.
So anyway, you know, they sit there. Everybody calms down. James could still care less. You know, James is pretty happy in the freaking blind. Gets closer to deer leg. Here comes another doe down the pipe. They'd made some adjustments. Seth had emptied the gun, closed it completely empty, set the sit puff back up. Gun fires immediately, right? So I reload the gun, get him locked in. Here comes his doe. Walks down the pipe, and buddy, James Dean smokes this thing. Wheelhouse right behind the shoulder, and it was his first deer, I believe, in 9 or 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And buddy, I mean, to a man, tears, everyone in deer camp. And it's those things. It's the time and the dedication. I mean, I believe they were 5 years, I believe, hunting together, 4 or 5 years as a group to make that happen. So
talk about a roller coaster of just emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, just... The video's on our YouTube channel, but it's like, to know what they'd gone through up to that point and then have that gun not fire.
Just in that one hunt, I'm thinking. Yeah, not only the four more seasons before that, that one hunt, the roller coaster of everything for them.
Seth needed a Xanax afterwards. I'm not going
to lie. And the worst part is I can just imagine the three of them. James was probably the most chill.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He was the one that was like, I'm going to shoot a deer finally. And you know what you said. And, damn. Well, that sucked. Meanwhile, the other two guys are flying off the handle.
What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, it was DEFCON 5 meltdown, I can assure you. But it was just, you look back at the total picture, and from James Dean to step out and show up, to the volunteers putting in the time, to the landowner open his gates, to the Department of Conservation track chairs, to the sip and puff machine. Like, it's full circle. You know, it's a lot of little things that made a big thing happen. So pretty awesome moment for a lot of people that put on. And then the last thing is just, it's so fresh in our memory, but we've had a little guy we met last year. His name is Will Wilkie. He moved up from, I believe, Arkansas, if I'm not correct or mistaken. And his dad reached out to us right before our deer hunt this year. He'd never shot a deer. He's got spina bifida. You had mentioned it. He was pretty gun-shy about showing up, you know, driving 4 hours, state he never met. We had a good conversation over the phone. They showed up, and it was, I mean, immediately, open arms, welcome to the family. Will was a member of the group, and he went out with one of our volunteers, Shane Zimmer, and shot his first deer this year. And again, like, the relationships that formed between the landowner and the landowner's kids and Will and Will's dad and Shane, it was just like, it's what we're here for. It's those lifelong memories and friendships that are creating. Yeah, they stick in my mind all the time.
It's pretty awesome.
And then there's about 1,000 more if you always want to sit around. Yeah. Like, it's, every one of them is pretty crazy. We've seen so many, like, first deers, you know, first time, you know, getting out in the field even. It's not even the harvest.
First time seeing a deer.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, any of that stuff.
Shooting trap again for the first time and, you know, however long.
I can go back to, like, the first time I saw an elk.
Yeah.
I had a bow in my hand. I forgot I even had it. It wasn't about that at the moment. It was, I see a bull elk in highly pressured ground in front of me right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a feeling.
It's a small miracle.
And then, of course, after he walks out of my life, I'm like, oh, shit, I had a bow. I could have
shot that guy.
I mean, it wasn't exactly that, but I mean, it's just kind of funny. Like, you feel like, you know, oh, I can do this. I'm ready for it. And then you see it. You actually see something like that that you feel like is a ghost.
Yeah.
And it's, it's a different, all of a sudden, a different set of emotions come through you.
Crossing my fingers, I get one of these Missouri tags this year, boys.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, me too.
Only 9,000 people applied last year,
isn't it crazy?
I guess it's going to be down from. I bet you it's down this year from last year.
Yeah, I've got one recommendation today, I recommend everybody don't put in for that permit.
Too late, anyways.
It's closed.
Yeah. Well, I know. I'm just saying in future reference.
Don't waste your time on it.
You may as well just help me increase my odds.
It's
here,
a scam. Right? It's going all to the landowners.
Well, we're actually we're good friends, and he's one of the volunteers. I've been turkey hunting with his boy, but Mike Ellison was the second guy to shoot one with a bow last year. And he's ate up and shot elk all over the country.
We actually had the first guy that shot one us. Yeah. And then we heard, did he shoot it with a compound?
I believe he might have shot his with a crossbow. Mike Ellison shot his with a bow the very next day.
Yeah, I know the guy we talked to shot with a crossbow.
Yeah, Mike shot his with a compound bow. Yep, yeah,
okay.
For sure. Yeah,
so
Mike's correct. Mike's a freaking killer, man, honestly. Nice. So you guys should have him on and hear the story.
We should, because that's
between elk. Ozark turkeys and elk. The guy's a killer, and his little son too.
Nice,
a little mulleted redhead, but he'll give me shit for that. But he's a good kid. I've spent a lot of time turkey hunting with them both. But
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
those Ozark turkey are just different.
They are different.
Up here, it's just so hard. There's not a lot of them. Down there, I've went a couple times with my dad, and you walk out, open the camper door. Like, we always camp on the place we go. At the camper, you open the door, and shit, you know, they're still on the roost, and there's 12, 15, and you're like, which direction do I go? I don't know. Because
all the different hills and the echoing. Yeah. But that's crazy. Well, have we missed anything?
I don't think we have, boys.
I know there's one thing I still need to touch on, but I'm going through all this awesome stuff, and I'm like, man, have I not touched on this or that? But the biggest thing is, if people do want to get involved one way or another, you know, I would just tell them first off to look you up and get a hold of you guys. So what are the different ways people can find you all?
Yeah, for sure. So the main actual website is just, it's all one word. It's MissouriDisabledSportsman.org. So that's our main website. General information, honestly, social media is probably where we get most of the traction now. Mm-hmm. So again, Missouri Disabled Sportsman on Facebook. Instagram, it's Mo Disabled Sportsman. Just track us down on there. Gmail account, same thing, Missouri Disabled Sportsman @gmail. Questions, comments, if you want to open up property, if you're a participant that has questions, you're interested in volunteering, you know, if you're a corporation or a private citizen that wants to help fund a hunt, reach out to us. I mean, it's we're pretty open about what we do and transparent with everything we're doing around here.
So. Awesome.
And when we release the show, we will tag Missouri Disabled Sportsman in all of our social media stuff. So if people are like, oh, I don't know how to get a hold of them, go back to the episode release, and it'll be right there. And actually, I'll even add your guys' website to our link tree also for our people so that they can see that. Andy and Micah just smirked. Yes, I'm making our link tree a thing.
He's really proud of this link tree that he made that nobody uses.
You would think it was gold. This link tree, you thought.
Took me forever to do, so we're going to use the damn
link tree. Pays you, don't they?
Yeah, well, I wish they did. so if folks, and honestly, if folks don't remember how to get a hold of you all, but remember they listened to it or whatever, just send us a message. Be like, hey, who are those folks that help out with people with disabilities? And we'll point you the right way.
I would say 90% of our events will show up on that Missouri Department of Conservation events page, too. So you can just scroll through, you know, events in local areas, whichever region they're in, they'll pop up depending on where you're at. So, definitely a good resource there as well. So.
That's awesome. I mean, we love learning more about it. Like I said, this has been something Andy actually ran into you a long time ago, by happenstance.
Through work and a little personal interaction.
Yeah,
that's right. The property, we just kind of ran into each other.
So, no joke, I've literally had your name sitting on a list that we keep, a note.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity. I mean, it's any time I can get a chance to get out and obviously spread the word a little bit about what we do, it's I jump at it. And I've listened to your boys' podcast pretty much since the inception. So
I appreciate that. Thank you. Greatly appreciate it.
You poor bastard.
Yeah. I obviously got a lot of time to kill.
I was getting ready to say, he's got he beat me to it. He's got time to kill.
Must have a boring daytime job. Jeez.
Here's my only question is, do you listen to us more than our own us because, Andy, we talked about you in last week's show. Did you listen to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Damn dude doesn't listen to his own show. But, yeah, man, hey, Pete, thanks for so much for coming on.
That was my pleasure.
You know, really informational, awesome organization. You know, one of the things we want to do with this show is shed light on organizations doing really cool shit.
Well, we do really cool shit. So what we need to do is get you boys up to maybe the deer hunt or something, even if it's one or two, and get you guys
come
up there.
Come talk to some people, yeah.
Come and do a podcast with some of our guys.
Yes.
At deer camp or something like that, or at the pheasant hunt. And
get their stories, their passion, yeah.
They're the ones driving the train. I mean, that's where we're all here. So
right.
I mean, they're the guys that that have the good stories, and
yep.
The real reason we're doing it.
And so, I love stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Pete Eisentrager.
Eisentrager.
Boom.
Nailed
got
it. Nailed it.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, boys.
We'll push the stop button on this one.
All right.
See you, boys.
That's that. This is this.
Oh, my God. No? You do that too much.
Okay. Well, then
no, I'm good with it.
Push the button.
No, I don't want to push the button. You just keep
start
running.
Over.
Just keep running.
Thank
you're
you.
About to fall asleep over there anyways.
Dude, it's no, late, man.
Yeah.
Late over. 11:04.
Late o'clock.
Late 04. That was good.
As you
I'm going to start using that. Late 04.
It's late 04.
Thanks, so, Pete, man, for coming on. Actually coming out and doing in studio with us.
We haven't had to in studio for a while.
Last one was Jeff Wilper that I couldn't even make it to.
Not Jeff. Yeah. Scott.
Scott. Good try.
Hi, Jeff, by the way.
Hi, Jeff. Yeah. Hi, Scott. But, yeah, we appreciate, you know, Pete coming out and shedding some light on what the Missouri Disability. La, la, la. I can't even say it.
Missouri disabled sportsman. You're not even drinking.
Hopefully, our listeners get something out of it, and you know, there's some people that want to get involved. Whether it's you know somebody wants to go on a hunt with them, or somebody wants to take somebody on a hunt with them. Hopefully, we can you know if we can get a couple people involved, episode well worth it.
Or just like he was talking about these track chairs are expensive. If people just want to help monetarily, do that. It's a non-profit. So do what you need, you know, do what you want to be able to, or even if you don't do anything, you just share what they do.
Talk about them. Get their name out there.
Yeah, get their name out there.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Shed light on the program.
For sure.
Definitely. So. But we really appreciate Pete's time. It was, I enjoyed listening to the stories that he told in there.
Yep.
Yeah, we probably could have had a show just on all the stories he has.
Yeah, he could have kept going. But we appreciate him coming to the studio, especially with today's gas prices.
No kidding, right?
Make the trip, costing.
Here it comes.
Is farming?
He runs it every time. I can't have a dad joke because he runs it every time.
Honestly, I just do it on purpose now just to piss you off.
God.
I know these gas prices are ridiculous.
I'm not doing it now.
No, yes, you are. Write it. Write it or I'll break it off.
Gosh. What I was going to say is I just applied for a new job as a waiter.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah. They have a lot to bring to the table.
Okay.
How the hell are you going to do gas prices? How was that going to get in there?
Gas prices are so high, I applied for a second job.
Yeah, you had to get a second job. If you wouldn't have stepped all over it, it would have been fine.
It's like, oh, here it is.
It's coming, guys. Are you one of those guys that, like, go and see a movie first thing, and then you go and tell everybody about that movie and just ruin it for everybody?
I think I am.
Then he goes back to the movie.
Have you seen
and the during the movie, he's like, she dies.
Have you seen the Top Gun?
No.
Neither have I.
I hear it's awesome.
That's what I keep hearing.
I'm supposed to go see it Friday.
Oh, really?
I want to see the new Jurassic Park.
I've heard that's horrible.
It hasn't even came out yet.
Somebody said it on Facebook today.
Well, it doesn't come out
Somebody
yet.
Said, if you have not seen the new Top Gun and not seen the new Jurassic Park, I just go see Top Gun twice.
Well, the new Jurassic Park came out, so it doesn't matter.
But I'll go. I'll watch it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
The kids will want to see that.
Yep. Well,
thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah, now that we've wasted all our listeners' time, we appreciate it.
This is a great episode that we just ruined.
Yep. Ruined it by the
You outro. Ruined it.
So, but they can just, you know, hit stop now.
Yeah, just don't listen to the outro.
They like to listen to us implode at the end of every show.
We just go to shit real quick. So, all right. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Y'all
see you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.